Welcome to the Variado Insider, a podcast covering some of the latest trends and things to know in cybersecurity. This podcast is sponsored by Variado, which is an award-winning employee monitoring and insider threat detection software provider. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com. I'm Dr. Christine Eswalkor, your host for today's segment, and we're covering the topic of the current state of ransomware in 2021. So almost any cybersecurity and tech professional would agree that ransomware is of a top cyber concern for organizations this year. You know, high profile attacks on organizations such as the Colonial Pipeline attack, Brentag, all have sparked a lot of concern around the cybersecurity community on how we can tackle these issues and how companies can defend against this type of attack. And so what we've seen sort of recently in these attacks is that it highlights the fact that ransomware isn't just about the loss of company data, right? Which is what we see when we hear about these major breaches and things in the news typically. The after effects of what ransomware does can potentially impact operations, shut down critical infrastructure, and more. And so there's that sort of crossover between physical security and data security and all of that, right? And you know, just this year we've seen this create supply chain disruptions, increase the costs of goods and services, create financial losses for companies, and so much more. Now, before we jump deep into this topic, I would like to welcome Julie Liu to the podcast as our special guest. Julie has been in the tech industry for over 20 years as a senior software developer, director of client services, technical operations, and much more. And so a broad range of experience within the tech space. Julie also has a passion for cybersecurity and creates some pretty engaging and insightful cyber content online that I had a chance to look into and absolutely love. So feel free to look her up and check that out as well. But she holds a bachelor's degree in mathematical methods from the University of Northwestern and a master's in cybersecurity from California State University. She is also a certified secure software lifecycle professional, which is so important in today's day and age, especially, and holds a cybersecurity fundamental certification from ISACA as well. And so bringing a ton of valuable insight and expertise to the table. Happy to have her as a part of this podcast. Welcome, Julie, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to jump right in. We have a lot of ground to cover today. Can you maybe start by just telling us a little bit more about your background?
So I started as a software developer probably 25 years ago, and I've been working in small startups. So way back, if you can imagine, in the 2000s, when you started at a startup, you kind of did everything. So you learned how to build your network, you know, learned how to set up servers. You had to set up your email, your phone systems, as well as your database servers and the actual software that you were trying to market and sell. So I feel fortunate because I learned pretty much every aspect of the technical trade through just hands-on experience. And I've watched the internet grow from just funny websites. I don't know if anybody remembers when everything was like, oh, I have a website. I have a website. I no longer use a phone modem, but I have this DSL line. So I remember those days from just having websites for web content to now where you do a lot of cloud computing and application development through browser-based tools. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. And once again, we're so pleased to have you as a part of this discussion on the current state of ransomware. Now, to get started, what is your take on the current state of ransomware in 2021? Like, what, you know, significant events or anything are changing the game in this space?
So I think ransomware has gotten so much worse because the bad actors obviously have found it profitable. And with the pandemic compounding the heightened anxiety of everybody and the remote workers at home, there are so many more avenues in which the bad actors can install ransomware and target mid-sized large companies and even home users. they make money off it. It's completely profitable. So I think it's only going to get worse unless ordinary people and companies start investing money into security and know that everyone is a target for ransomware. Not just, I'd say probably in the past 5 years, healthcare companies and local governments were probably the biggest targets for ransomware, but now you're seeing the infrastructure sectors get hit. And that is the current state of our affairs now.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. There's been a shift in, I think, you know, healthcare and banking were some of the really obvious places to hit, right? Because it's like, that's the, those are some of the biggest impacts where it's like, if you shut down a, you know, hospital's operations, like that's potentially impacting life, right? And so people are, at least from a hacker's perspective, you know, thinking from that angle, is like people are probably much more inclined to try to act fast and pay what they need to pay or whatever the case may be. But to your point, there's a sort of expansion in that strategy to, hey, small and medium-sized businesses aren't as prepared to address this either. And they don't oftentimes have the resources to either prevent or respond when something happens, aside from trying to figure out how to pay to get their data back. So definitely some interesting trends and shifts in this space. Now, according to a report put out by CloudWards.net, the operational downtime as a result of a ransomware attack on average is about costing companies $283,000 per incident, which was almost 100% increase from the previous year. And so on that note, more on the proactive side, what should leaders be doing to ensure that their companies don't fall victim to a ransomware attacks tomorrow, especially given just how costly this is becoming for people, you know, paying the ransom, which I'm, some people can argue whether or not you should do that even to begin with, but especially when that's no longer an option as these price tags go up, how can people truly proactively make sure that their companies don't fall victim?
So I think the most important thing to do is to train employees, and not with some boring online training thing. Oh, I just have to do this course just because HR department is saying that I have to do it. Employees really have to know kind of a very basic map roadwork of how the internet works in the first place, and then train them to, hey, don't click on that. Don't open that. You don't have to visit this website. You can see how all the little holes in your network environment can go through, and any kind of ransomware or malware can go through that. So I think training employees is the key. I also think that corporations and companies need to be aware of all the mobile devices and Internet of Things devices connected to their network, especially with people traveling, not traveling, I guess, working from home. They're no longer in their secure network at the company or the building, and they all have these mobile devices with these tiny screens. It's so easy to feel under pressure. You're anxious. You're just going to click it. And who knows what that might open up. So I think companies really need to be aware of all the mobile devices that people are using. Another big key factor is asset management. Know where all your things are. You got to know where all your, the most critical servers live, the most critical data. You have to know where all the parts are. If you don't know where they are, you can't secure them. I also feel that companies need to be monitoring data that goes out of their network to see if, okay, well, normally we have this amount of data going out of the network. Whoa, today we have this amount of data going out of our network. Something is not right. So I've also heard that a lot of the ransomware targets right now are a combination of data exfiltration and the actual ransomware. So the bad actors are asking, hey, if you don't pay us the money, we're going to publish all your private data online, and we're going to lock all of your systems down so you can't get into them. So it's like a 1-2 punch. So make sure you know if your data is flowing out of the network, something's up, and shut it down. I also think that CEOs and people in charge need to keep on top of the trends. So why can't you can just go look online or do some research? What are the top five sectors for ransomware now? How did they get infected? Did they pay? How much did they pay? And finally, everyone should have a plan and test the plan. doesn't have to be expensive, but you should know where your backups are. You should know, okay, let's say this worst case scenario happened. Where's the plan? Who do we contact?
I think there's a couple of key things that you touched on. You mentioned sort of the heightened risk as employees continue to work remotely. I know there's been a lot of talk, especially as things sort of calm down around hybrid, you know, work setups where people might be going back to the office a little bit, but you'll still see this kind of lasting impact or lasting nature of some sense of people working remotely or kind of being on the road traveling. And so I think that's an important element to keep in mind, that sort of lasting impact of that change as we think through user behavior and how that can impact ransomware getting into organizations. And then, yeah, on that note of sort of user behavior, you touched on this as well, and I think it's a really good point around looking for anomalous things. You know, if a crazy amount of data is leaving, or if users are not acting a certain way, or certain processes are no longer able to access things, like those are all telltale signs that you can use to try to detect things, right, and take action as quickly as possible before things spread or get really bad within a network. Another thing that you mentioned that I think is a really good point to highlight here, and I'm so glad that you brought it up, is that 1-2 punch double whammy of like, this isn't just about the ransom request anymore, right? It's like, you know, whether you're against paying or not, it's like when there's that element of data leak or data exposure as well, then it just takes the digital extortion sort of scheme that we see to another level. And then lastly, the point on learning from you know, trends and things, I think that is also huge. I want to reemphasize that because, you know, if you're, let's say, a healthcare company A, and all of your counterparts or competitors, you know, have been hit, and you kind of keep your head in the sand and don't pay attention, 9 times out of 10, you're on the target list too. And so it's better to sort of pay attention and learn from that. And I've seen plenty of times in my career where, as an organization that I was working in, because we had that intelligence and because we had our ears open to what was happening in the industry, we were able to more proactively prepare for attacks before they reached our doorstep, and it truly helped a lot. So all really good points. Thanks so much for sharing all of that. Now, there's a huge question of whether or not companies should be paying the ransom, right, in order to unlock their data. According to one report from CompariTech, in 2021, 40% of ransomware victims ended up paying the ransom, which is still a huge number from my perspective. And so for companies who fall victim and get hit with, you know, that unfortunate ransom note that everybody dreads, you know, how should they respond? Should they be paying? Should they be looking at other options? Are backups enough? I know that's a key strategy. What's your take there?
So, yeah. Once again, ransomware actors are so into this because they mostly do make back their money because people mostly pay. So I don't think necessarily you must pay right off the bat. The first thing I would do was monitor or just assess the scope of the problem. So you would try to quarantine, isolate, and disconnect any systems you feel are hit by ransomware or something's not right. That is the very first thing you must do. Secondly, I think companies must look at their contractual obligations to their clients. Like obviously, if you're in a hospital and it's life and death, you might be under more pressure. So maybe I still don't want them to pay, but if they assess the situation and it's ready to traverse through everything and it's shut down all the systems, then you know, it's hard to say because you have people's lives on the line. But let's say it only affect, you were a different sort of a company, it only affected one very small portion of your non-critical servers. Well, then you're not going to pay. Isolate those servers, quarantine them, know your contractual obligations, know what compliance laws you must follow. And, you know, there's federal regulations and local government regulations that, okay, are they going to allow you to pay? Are they not going to allow you to pay? What do you have to notify your users? Is it worth it to pay? So you have to assess things. You got to assess these things pretty quickly. So hopefully you're, you know, on your toes. Then the next thing you should do is contact an investigator like as soon as possible. Who are you going to call? You should have known that beforehand. Call somebody or a company that you find is completely reputable and is vetted in this sort of investigation, and have them assess the situation. And then last of all, you should have had your contacts, like your important contacts, cell phone numbers and names printed out, so you know who to call right away. And you, if you can't access your computer systems, you actually have them printed on a paper. So those are the things that I think as a reactive measures, you can follow those.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah, no, that's, those are all really important points, because I think that because we're talking here about sort of responding if you do get that no, right? So it's like at that point, unless you've done a ton of preventative and like proactive work, when you're at that point, it's a little bit, it can be hard to like figure out the best way to approach it. So it's a very different story if you're prepared versus not, right? It's like, if you're prepared, then it's okay, maybe we restore from our like safe backups that we know we have somewhere else, or we have some sort of ransomware technology that already helps us detect these things, and we already have a process in place. Like when you're in that proactive situation, I think you're much better off. It's when you're, you know, not prepared, to your point, and if you don't have the plan and if you don't have the context already in place to call, that I think that response becomes important. And so I think the key word there is be proactive. The other thing that I'll add in is I think that there's always a lot of talk around like, well, if we have backups, then we're safe. And if we have antivirus, then we're safe. And of course, those are key elements of combating ransomware and will help a lot. I think the other thing is it is important to call out that a lot of advanced ransomware today will also encrypt your backups or try to disable your antivirus. Right. So having that sort of additional technology layer in mind or in your strategy that will help you navigate all of that is important as well. So all really good points. As we wrap up, are there any final thoughts that you want to add?
I think everybody has the capacity to protect themselves. And the more people that can protect themselves from ransomware attacks, the better, because then the less targets. Don't be the lowest hanging fruit. Don't be the one with every single port open on every single server with every service running completely accessible by the internet. Do regular scans, hire somebody to do some pen testing, right? And so that way you know which targets are the hottest for yours, which targets are the most vulnerable. Plan a little bit ahead. It will really, really, really pay off in the end, because you do not want to be in panic mode under a dire situation and all of a sudden all your servers are locked and you can't get into anything, and then come to find out after investigations, oh, well, gee, we should have known about this 12 months ago because there were warning signs. Right. You never want to be the woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
So plan in advance.
Of course. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much for all of the valuable insight. This has been great. That concludes the Variado Insider podcast for this week. This podcast, again, has been brought to you by Variado, which is an award-winning cybersecurity company whose solutions are anchored around four core areas of cybersecurity protection. Those are employee monitoring and web filtering, insider threat detection, employee investigations, and ransomware support. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com and send the team a quick note. Thanks again, Julie, for joining us. This has been great.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. I'm Dr. Christine Iswakor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, and it has been our pleasure to share these insights with you. So until next time, stay safe and secure, insiders.